Sure we will.
Long Talk Radio.
All right. March 5th, 2023. Scott, and we got a lot of people on the switchboard already. And press one on your keypad. I don't know. You guys know a lot of people. Go ahead.
Where's that?
Yeah.
We're awaiting the count, I believe. Or unofficially, it appears Mr. Fain has won, but I can't say that officially.
Well, right, they're waiting for.
If you're not talking, please mute your phone so no outside disturbance, please. Thank you. Okay. Oh, we got Jimmy in 734. That might be Adrian.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, Adrian.
Hi, Jimmy.
Good evening.
How's Jimmy doing tonight? How's Adrian doing?
Hey, I'm good. The power didn't
you
go out this time, so we're good.
Amen. Good here, brother. Good watching. I don't understand why they want to move from ballots, that's for sure.
Ugh. Yeah, what's going on with the ballots now, Jimmy?
There's rumor that they want to move the ballots to something, to possibly another location from what I read, because there's like 1,600 challenge ballots, if I remember right. Am I correct on that number, Adrian?
Yes, you are.
There's like 1,600 challenge ballots, you know. I don't think those ballots have been counted yet either, have they?
They haven't.
Yeah, so either way.
It's the strangest thing because these particular ballots, you want to check them to see if the members have the right to vote?
Right.
It sounds
for standing,
like
that's what I got.
Excuse me?
You're right. For standing, they want to know if they've got, if they're in good standing, if they're eligible. That's exactly what I was told.
But you know, this is weird. This is strange.
Yeah.
You didn't do this in the first election.
Yes, they did. They did it a week before they started counting, and they did it on this election. They started it like the 22nd of February. So why are they redoing it? That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Something ain't diving here, people.
Right. You're going to make the decision away from the observers. The observers are supposed to make the decision whether or not they're going to eject a ballot. That's their job, right?
That's
if they can't verify them, then they should reject all the ballots so they can't verify on the information they had at the time. That should be the end of it. There should be no more talking.
Who's challenging the ballots?
That would be our Secretary Treasurer, right?
If you think about it, it had to be one of Ray Curry, Sean Payne, or Daniel Vincent, or Lorraine, or whatever her name is, Chuck Browning, or Tim. Those are the only ones that had challengers that had a piece of this pie. So one of them challengers had to challenge the ballot. When that happens, it gets put in its own separate envelope. It's set on the side, and then all the challengers are supposed to get the ballot with the election committee, and they look at that ballot to see why was it challenged. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of this shit, that all should have been done right there. Furthermore, they started counting ballots Monday. They didn't get done yet. Yet they did the whole damn election before in 1 week. What's going on here?
Yeah. Well,
hey Don. Don.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't mean to cut you off. One of the challengers that are observers, they call it for the national election, called in and is trying to get in on the air right now.
I've got everybody on. It's got their hand up. So who is that? 734, I just put on. 810, you're on. 734, you're on. And the rest of you guys have been talking. Yeah, I don't know who it is.
At light reads from the Members United and UAW, as of March 4th, unofficial ballots results in the UAW runoff election indicates the race for the president was too close to call and hinge on the resolution of 1,608 remaining unresolved challenge ballots. The ballot count currently stands at 50.2% to 49.8%, with Sean Fain in the lead approximately by 645 votes after counting the first batch of resolved ballots. Ballots will be stored in Dayton, Ohio at a secured site run by the Merriman River Group, the election vendor, until the count resumes at some point in the coming week, potentially at a location other than Dayton. The boxes containing the ballots have been signed and sealed, and observers of the Members United UAWB will be present when the boxes are unsealed. In the meantime, the court-appointed monitor, you know, Captain Bullshit there, you know, I think his name's Barbowski or whatever. He should be, like I said, never mind, Jim, shut up. We will be gathering information and resolve challenges. The majority of the membership eligibility and time-consuming process to resolve this. Observers of the Member United and the UAW will continue to be present at the count and will continue to review the monitor's findings regarding the challenge ballots and the suggestion safeguards for the counting process. The unofficial results so far show Sean Fain up by that 400 or whatever it was number they give, 645 votes. Now, my math from what that UAW vote.com, I had Sean up by like, I think it was 2,148.
Right.
Yeah.
Take away.
Let me get 313 on you guys.
I hope Paul Baxter calls in.
313, you're on.
Hello.
Oh, that's a working man. Continue, Jimmy.
But other than that, there's other things going on. We got to pay attention. Did you guys all see that? Well, did you see that? Let's stay on the Curry thing here. He was appointed February 28th to a council by our President of the United States for the President's Board.
The Export Council. That's right. Yes.
And this opens the door for possible next future governmental appointments. Could he possibly wind up being the guy that watches our oversight if we get put in oversight by the government? Boy, that would be a... And I don't even want to think about that nightmare. Take it away, fellas.
Wow.
Not, Scott, wake up.
Scott. I am adult muted. I am adult muted. Nightmare is not the word for it.
I wish you wouldn't have landed at sea, Jim.
You know, I was getting ready
I said,
to say
I
this.
Wish you wouldn't have planted that seed and said that. I wish you wouldn't have said that on the air because you'd given him ideas.
All right.
It doesn't matter about him giving somebody ideas. It's already out there. Timing is everything.
Yep.
It's a strange phenomenon that on February 28th, a council was set up that took our present president and put him on an export council or commission, because that's what it is. It's a commission. So it's very strange that this occurred at that time. Now, you can think what you want, I mean, because that's a fact that this is done. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I also try to look forward and see that this is detrimental to our organization. And it will definitely be detrimental if Ray Curry remains president of our organization. All of the trickery yep. that's being done, because that's what I call it. I call it trickery.
That's right.
Let the elections and the ballots be counted. You sent out 1.1 million ballots, and still we only get 141,000 ballots returned.
Not to mention
something
this runoff election.
Right.
What was that, Adrian?
Yeah,
well,
why was that?
We did get 21,000 ballots more than what we received on the first election.
Right. She's pointing out how there was so many more ballots that were returned in the runoff election versus the election, let's say, that all the candidates were in. I find that really resolving too, Adrian, and I'm glad you touched on that, because I've had some retirees say, hell, they didn't know the first time around, but then when they started using, and I'm going to say they, I mean Chuck Browning and Ray Curry, when they started sending all these mailings that I know I wasn't the only one that got, telling people that the retirees they now could vote, they requested a ballot and got one. And they just did that, and I'm convinced they did that because proven past history of that part of the retirees, and I'm sorry to say that I'm part of that. I don't feel this or act this way. They've always supported the incumbents. Shame on you.
That's right. Let me get 313. Where did you go? Hold on. 313. You are on 680. You're on.
Sharon Bell. Sharon Bell. I'm just here.
Hi, Sharon Bell. Miss Bell?
Yes. It's an exciting moment. So I'm in. I'll get in when I can.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I guess the question is now, if those many ballots were sent out, excuse me, as Adrian said, weren't those verified when you sent those out?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm having a real problem with this, and I'm having a problem also that you sent out 1.1 million ballots twice.
Right.
Okay, I mean, this is, don't get me wrong, because we don't even have 1.1 million members. Okay? And so... who did these extra, it's like an extra 200,000 ballots. Who did they
right.
go to?
Right.
And,
gallery guests.
Yeah. I have to laugh at that. But the other part is that, you know, there are 21,000 more ballots received this time than the last time, which that's possible because of the extra mailings that was done to the retirees. Retirees that hadn't received ballots before, and maybe there's some active members also that hadn't received ballots before. They received them this time. I know that a lot of letters went out from the Curry team to the retirees. I got one, so I know that several other retirees also received letters from their locals, local presidents, and stating that they support Curry and wanted the retirees to support this team. And I'm saying that to piggyback off of what Jimmy was saying about voting for incumbents. Part of the reason for that is because the retirees knew this caucus somewhat. They trusted that caucus that's in. the administration caucus. They didn't know a lot of some of the stuff that's been going on. So they're going on what they trusted, what they knew about.
And what they were told.
Yep, and what they were told. Some of them. I'm not going to say all.
Well, here's another one, Adrian. This entire election, they've been saying that these ballots have anonymity. They're anonymous. They don't know who. And so my charge was, okay, if they're anonymous, how do you verify standing? So, and then I started examining the ballots, the outer envelope, the inner envelope, and the coding and the numbers is your region, is your local, and there's other numbers in there also. Now, we don't know what they are, but just like a VIN code on a car, if there's a 1, it's made in the U.S. If it's 2, it's made in Japan. They all have a meaning. So if they can identify specifically who each ballot came from, that completely changes things. Because we know that people didn't receive ballots in the general election, and we know that some of the people that received ballots and how they voted did not receive them in this election. If they know how people voted from the previous election or from the referendum and the ballots are generated and sent out, they control who gets the ballots, who they're generated for, and they know how you voted. That's a problem.
I agree with you on that, but we knew in the general election that there was a way for them to know who received what ballots. The region number, the local number was on the original, on the general election envelopes as well.
Right, that's how they sorted them. But they know how to tell specifically who the person is because they're going to call these locals to verify their standing. So they know exactly who the person is that the ballot went to.
That's correct. That is correct. Everyone has an assigned number. And that also is part of that number that you're looking at.
Something else I've thought about between both elections, but even now with this runoff election and the way they're handling this challenge balloting, there's been no media coverage about this type of stuff. And usually media is all over anything that might be discrepancies. And if they've already been publishing interviews and stuff, whether it's Courier, UAWD, or Sean Fain, or any of the candidates throughout either election, the one thing that they're not discussing or trying to interview and get to the bottom of is any discrepancies that have been brought up at large. And I haven't seen anything in the media regarding this ballot counting and any possible discrepancies. And Jim was right, Adrian, that verification ballots, there is no issue the first go-around on them saying that Merriman River Group was going to verify ballots the last week prior to the vote count, both for the general and for this election. So there should be no discrepancy at this point other than Curry's pretty much lost if we go with what we have right now, and that'd be the only challenge. And we also have to remember who created the rules, understood the timeline, created the timeline for all of this. That was Ray Curry and the Monitor. So I believe that there is some shenanigans going on.
Right.
And
with
I
all
agree
aside,
with you.
The fact is Sean Fain was leading towards the end. It looked like he was going to win, and they pulled the ballots off the table before the rest of them were counted. That's how it went. He was winning. It looked like he was going to win, and they had an oh shit moment. Because they haven't given a good reason for why they stopped the count.
The only region left to count is Region 2. Am I correct?
All regions have been counted.
From all of them. Right.
Well, we don't have a plain Region 2 no more because all I could find was Region 2B.
No, Region 2. Hey, Jim, Region 2, from what I saw on UAWD's website, Region 2 was overwhelmingly won by Curry, and then Region 8. Other than that, I saw on their website that Sean Fain was in the lead significantly in the other districts.
Right. So for Heat, now Curry did real well in 1A too, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he almost doubled Fain there.
That's correct.
Suspiciously well.
No, that's not suspicion there.
No, not really.
No, not and you know we're in Region 1A, 313,
yeah.
And we know the shenanigans they play too. So,
Can I say something about the what's going on with the? From what I read in the newspaper today, when it came online, they said that the challenge is the eligibility, the member eligibility. So what that tells me, if I'm not wrong, George, you can correct me, that they're into the challenge votes because I looked at it, they counted all the votes, and it's 1,064 votes that were challenged. They got a challenge section, and these voters, it was a challenge about their eligibility. That's what was going on.
Sharon is correct. Absolutely correct.
Thank you.
All the regions were counted. They have about 600 or 1,600 ballots that are being challenged, not by Ray Curry or Sean Fain. They're being challenged by the monitor. They want to make sure that these ballots that were sent out to these people are in good standing, and so they got to verify it. The problem is that all the financial treasurers or secretaries from the locals are getting sent to San Antonio, Texas, for a financial conference this week. So
right.
I don't know how they're going to get a hold of these financial secretaries to find out if these people are in good standing or not.
One thing I want to comment, they could use the trustees, but if I was a financial secretary, I wouldn't want the trustee to be answered for me on something such as big as this. So it was a thought that they could use the electronic system, but the electronic system is flawed, so I think this is very important here.
Well,
I just wanted to comment on that.
My question was, if they're in good standing, well, what if it's a retiree? They're in good standing.
What would that have to do with it? Make me understand.
Because Brian says that the members are in good standing. What if 500 of these 1,600 challenge ballots are retirees?
They ain't good standing.
That's my point.
What if their members... But what if they're members at large and they don't have a local and they don't have a financial secretary that can verify?
Okay.
There's only 36 at large. There's only 36
exactly.
Members at large.
I wanted to
large.
Point that out. Thank you, Adrian.
There's
yeah.
only what,
All
Adrian?
Of a sudden, there was only 36 members at large. You remember in the general election, it was, what, 2,000 or something? Some crazy
well,
number at large.
Adrian, you threw a rock at the whole situation because the at-large is full of bull crap. Now, we
that
got
is correct.
And you're going to make me angry for the first time. I ain't
no,
angry,
no.
But it's just,
you know what?
It's wrong to even think of it like that.
This is not even worth getting angry
mm-hmm.
about because
no,
we, like I said from the beginning, we already knew from the first day before you were even vetted, that trickery was being involved. You have to be able to see the trickery because,
yeah.
just like Brian just stated, they're going to a conference this week
yeah.
for financial secretaries.
Yeah.
Okay, everything
right.
is being prolonged. You got a bargaining convention coming up.
Yes. Yeah.
You see, nothing is being done in a timely manner. It hasn't been all alone.
And it's going to hurt the membership.
They don't care nothing about hurting the membership.
Hear, hear.
I got a question for you guys. For somebody who's been to a lot of conventions, I know Adrian, you've been to some, and Ms. Sharon, you've been to a few conventions.
Yeah.
Prior to this election, so you've seen other IEB elections under the delegate system, is that correct?
Well, I never. That was my first time because they always voted me out going to the convention.
So you told me that Leroy McKnight ran in 2018. So I know you've been at least one.
Yeah, I was at that one. I ran.
Mm-hmm.
I ran too.
So here's a question: when they with the delegates voted for the IEB, the delegates did. What's the process after that?
Well, after they voted them, they became elected, and it turned over.
The Secretary of the Treasurer has to certify them in votes, right? Is that right?
Yeah, the votes had to be certified, but everything happened right there at the convention.
All right, so let's go to the consent decree. The consent decree restricts the monitor to working within the confines of the Constitution and what the established processes already are. If it is the Secretary Treasurer's responsibility to certify the votes, Margaret has the ability to reject all them 1,600 votes
that
they can't verify.
Stay right there and don't go nowhere. Let me tell you something about the consent decree. Because that was something I fought, me and Roberta. The consent decree gave him when he was appointed, the monitor was appointed, he was given empowerment to create the consent decree. And that's how he was able, and the membership voted at the convention. The delegates voted and approved everything. That's why when you look at your constitution, which hasn't been printed, the new one, is that they amended without the delegates. They amended the article.
Up.
Yeah, they amended. I know all about it. And so what I've been raising the argument was, prior to the convention, with the retirees, you changed it, and you said you wouldn't. You said you would honor our Constitution.
Doesn't have the authority.
They gave it to him. I'm with the OALMS.
The consent decree did not give him the authority to work outside of the Constitution. I read it myself.
He has to work within
the confines of the Constitution. They couldn't even flip the referendum to have one member, one vote without a membership
vote.
But
he changed it when they came up with it.
So he's working outside of his authority is what I'm saying.
Well, I respect what you're saying, but you have to take it to court before the adjudicator. There's certain things you can take to court.
What you would do is you do what the administrative caucus would do. You run the process the way it's supposed to. Refuse to certify the votes. Sean Fain's the winner. That's it. That's the end of the story.
Not just that. I mean, if the monitor has oversight of this union, he should have access to the Lewis system, meaning he shouldn't have to wait for the financial secretary to find out if somebody's in good standing. He should have access to the Lewis system to verify who's in good standing and who's not.
And your Lewis system was flawed in all of it. So go ahead.
You are correct. But the Lewis system states who is in good standing and who's not in good standing. So even if you were to go to the financial secretary, the financial secretary can only base it off of what they see in the Lewis system.
No, they can go through the back door because, first of all, you either retiree or you work for a facility, because for you to stay in good standing, you have to have an employer with the union or for you to be a member in good standing. But if you're a retiree, you don't have to be tied to an employee, and you automatically in. So my point to you, if I was looking at this and I wanted to see, even if I had a trust financial secretary was questionable, the ethics, I would, one, first you make sure that they are tied to an employer. The employer is obligated, and if they flawed and didn't send some information, I would verify that. If they sent their information over, I would look at the date and time. So it's a track that I would follow. And I would know for a fact, without a doubt. And in this case, because we're about to get into a war, because you suggested something that might work. You said, hey, if Margaret is the certifier and she's the financial secretary, and you need to not speculate. Yeah, but you need to know the rules, brother. And you need to have them down pat.
I read the consent decree. It does not give them any authority above and beyond what the confines are of the Constitution. You and Roberta Gaynor both filed a charge against the monitor for amending the Constitution without the approval or affirmation of the delegates. So on one issue, you're saying he doesn't have the authority. You filed a complaint. On this issue, you're saying that he can just do what he wants with the Constitution. I don't understand.
Okay, don't misquote me and don't talk fast because I'll have to check you. Here's what I was
just repeating what you said.
Don't do that.
I've got all the previous shows. I can pull the
when we, let me tell you, don't out talk me, okay? I'm going to listen to you. When we went to court, we didn't win. We still got another step to follow. I was going by how the judge answered it. So this is what the answer I was giving you, what he gave us. But when I went in, no, and I still feel that way. We got one more step, and Roberta is looking at something. So ain't nothing over. He answered, I had 8 lawyers against me. And guess what? His answer, the judge's answer was, he can do it, and they let him do it. That's why I couldn't stop nothing. So I don't want you to misquote me. Me feel bad because I work real hard. I'm not agreeing. In one breath, one another. I'm going to say it just like it is. The judge told me and Roberta, and she filed the 7-1. I broke away from Roberta because I'm ready to go to the outside courts. And Roberta, we both can. And I talked to Copley about this. He had to decide.
See, here's the problem, though. The administrative caucus would have used the authority with the station of their job, and they would have just called it. If the shoe was on the other foot, if the exact opposite was to happen.
Okay.
Ray Curry had a 700 vote lead, 640, if you want to be specific, and it was to go the other way, that's exactly what they would say. We couldn't verify these ballots, and therefore they were kicked out, and they would have named Ray Curry. And what I'm stating is that Margaret Mott has all the authority in her station. She's duly elected. So just like the caucus was.
I'm not disagreeing with you, so don't put me on record saying that. It's on the radio recording.
Right.
Don't ever do that because I have to argue with you. No.
Everybody, these shows are all public. You can go back and listen to them. I can pull excerpts from previous. We all know what was said.
Yeah. Well, I'm making it clear. I didn't.
But I wouldn't want to embellish and make it sound like it's more or less than what it was. I'm just stating that the duties of the office of the Secretary of the Treasury is to certify the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the way it was under the delegate system, it might be a new system because it's direct voting, but that part of the process would not have been affected.
And I agree.
Otherwise, it would have been disclosed in the election rules in advance.
That's a good point. I support your point.
I yield my time. You guys got the floor. It doesn't seem... the way that it's playing, we're hinging on waiting on ballots you can't verify. Where during this election, there were ballots that were kicked. There was one of them that was kicked out. It had a post-it note. Somebody left a little note in there. The ballot was filled out properly. It was rejected based on a post-it note that was added inside of the ballot. There's other ones that were rejected for trivial things. Now, you're talking about ballots that can't be verified. And with all the financial secretaries, you're stating that without the financial secretaries, the monitor can't look at the Lewis system to verify whether or not these people got standing. If you can't verify, then it's not a valid ballot.
This is deep. What we
got a question for everybody. I got a question for everybody if anybody has any ideas. Is there anything?
Okay,
so the financial officers conference or whatever, is this upcoming week. Is there anything in the timeline the week of the 13th, the following week, or the week of the 20th, the following week, that hasn't been discussed? Because we already know the following week is the 27th, and that's the bargaining convention. So the reason I'm asking this, so gives you guys something to think about, and if anybody has an answer, if there's anything going on the week of the 13th or the 20th of March, then bring that forward. But in the election rules for this runoff, which I've discussed with a few people, the time window of the unofficial candidate being announced, the unofficial ballot count and the candidate being announced as a winner from the monitor, is a 7-day time window to be sworn in. So now that we're dragging this on to another week, and we know that timing is everything, and this is very well timed, everything's been very well timed and planned for these elections, the fact that we're going into the week of the 6th and now they're trying to pull some question about challenging ballots and getting with financial officers, the locals, knowing that the financial officers are all going to be at a conference, let's just say they decide to push this another week, that's still, even if they did it a week from tomorrow, the 6th, that's the 13th. Let's say they make an announcement of that winner and it happens to be the candidate that's the challenger to the incumbent. They don't have to swear that candidate in for another 7 days from that announcement if they don't want to. So this timeline keeps on getting pushed back intentionally. It's not even conspiracy. It's just we're seeing it happen. And like I said, the media is not addressing it. But does anybody have any clue on anything that's supposed to be occurring the week of the 13th or the week of the 20th between the financial officers' conference this week and then the bargaining convention at the end of the month?
Phil Trades is meeting, but that shouldn't have shit to do. They're supposed to be meeting in Chicago, but I don't see what the hell that would do. But hell, that would just give Ray another week, or is it Roy another week of paycheck? I get confused anymore.
Well, it's been 8 months that he's been holding a position that could have been voted on a year ago.
Right.
David Pillsbury is the challenger. He's trying to get on the air right now.
Are they flying out on Monday, Gary Treasury?
Usually they go the day before, which would have been today. Today is the travel day.
All right.
Don, you got somebody waiting trying to get on.
Isn't that funny? Somebody's making a lot of noise there. Isn't it funny that this didn't happen the first go around?
Really strange, isn't it?
Sure is.
Because you had eligibility issues on the first go around. And you didn't fill up boxes and send them nowhere to be challenged at another location. And that bothers me, too, because this location, you leased it for a certain amount of time. And like I said, everything is dealing with timing. Why in the hell didn't you have enough time to check only for... It was only three positions that involved a total of six people. Same amount of regents, except for your at-large, decreased significantly. And so you knew that you only had like 4 days. So why would you check three regents tonight, three regions the next night, when you know you have at least 11.
Right.
You wasted time.
Adrian, also what needs to be pointed out is they had damn near double the manpower down there for this runoff than they did on the first election.
No, we didn't.
Is that Dave?
Am I on?
You're on. Yeah, this is Dave Pillsbury. He was at the council. You might want to hear what he's got to say.
So the first election, they had double the manpower. They only had half this time, which was a little confusing to me. As far as the ballot goes and the identifier on the ballot, it was on the return envelope. Over your name and address, there was a code. And if you look at the codes on the monitor's website where it says how many ballots were mailed back by region, that code will be there. My code is 05598, and region 1D was on the top of my envelope. So the challenge ballots were ballots that did not pass verification. Glenn McGordy was trying to verify ballots all weekend. They got a bunch of them done, 600 and some odd. Come Saturday and Sunday, it was going to be a lot harder to get a hold of a financial secretary. The decision was made to wait until Monday. Of course, the financial officers' conference is Monday. The ballots were sealed and locked. He says we're going to do it in Detroit. He doesn't have a timeline for that. I think it'll be a couple of days. The ballot is anonymous in a certain way because when they slit the envelope, they just slit the envelope and they put it in another tray and they pull the ballots out and they stack them and they start unfolding them and stacking them up. And as an observer or a challenger, you can sit there and watch and you can take a sampling. We were taking samplings of 50 to get a good idea of Sean versus Ray. So it's anonymous in that aspect, but they have a way to track it. And all the challenge ballots were ballots that didn't pass verification. And they're going on the verification of the global mailing list. One of the rejected ballots was Dave Green from 2B. Now, I don't know how you vet a man, let the man run an election, and then reject his ballot.
Right.
Okay. Another rejected ballot was from my local. They had no information on him. None at all. And he's got 27 years. He's had to request a ballot three times. The monitor's rules on requesting ballots is a little screwed up, if you ask me. If you request a ballot, they will send it no matter what. I mean, my wife, Brian's wife, Jason's wife, anybody's wife or spouse, husband, whatever, could have requested a ballot and gotten it. And then they go through the verification process. Of course, those last-minute ballots that came in at the deadline, those didn't get verified while union halls were still operational and opening, which put us into this situation where we have to get a hold of financial secretaries to verify those ballots. And, of course, they laid out every rejected ballot. They laid out the non-information ballots. They gave us the printouts on a table. We weren't allowed to take pictures, of course. We were allowed to write down names and chase those down. And that's how I found one of the – well, actually, Scott Huddleston found my guy from 598. So Curry's observers ran around and wrote down who they thought was voting for Curry. And, of course, Sean's observers did the same thing, who they thought were voting for Sean. And we handed those to Glenn McGordy so he could have a little leg up on that. I gave the information on my guy in 598. It's 1,608 ballots. Not all of them are going to get counted. There were names on that list that are not UAW members and is provable. There are names on that list that are UAW members that are provable. You're probably going to lose 4 to 6, maybe even 10% of those votes in the end.
What was that last one? So you got cut out.
I said you may lose, you know, you're going to lose 4 to 6 at the least. You may lose 10% of those votes, those challenge votes in the end, because some of those people aren't UAW members. Like the one with no information was Chris Budnick's mother. Now, we know she's a UAW member. That vote's going to count. One was a Genesee County. He was the county clerk at one time. He's in jail now for fraud. That vote's not going to count. He was never a UAW member. So you're going to whittle that 1,608 down to about 1,500.
Wow.
And mathematically, Curry would have to take 77% of those votes, if not more, to win. He's too far behind. And he hasn't performed 77% in any region. He won two regions. He won 1A and 8. He got slaughtered. He got slaughtered in 2B. He got slaughtered in 4. He got slaughtered in 6. And these ballots are from every region. So the chances of him actually pulling this out are slim. I mean, mathematically it's possible. Realistically, it probably won't be.
His highest one was 66, right? And that was 1A, 66%. That's the best he did in any of the regions. I'm looking at the data right now.
Yeah, he did 66%.
So he'd have to get 77%.
Right,
but if they throw 10% out, if they throw 10% out, then that percentage increases. You'd have to get like 80%. I remember I listened to you earlier. This percentage
right.
is actually going to be higher. You would have to get.
Yeah, for every one of those votes that doesn't get counted, that gets voided because they weren't UAW members or they can't be verified, that percentage goes up. And to Adrian's point about last time, this didn't happen last time. And there was a reason. The reason was they didn't have to get into those challenge ballots because Mike Booth and Rich Boyer had a big enough lead over Bressler and Browning. They started to get into them and look at them at that count just in case Rich was going to be in a runoff, and he wasn't. So once it was determined that Rich had a big enough lead,
We got into the challenge. I don't mean to cut you off, but we did. We went to the open challenge ballot. We had to open them.
Right. They were open, but those ballots weren't counted because they weren't necessary. This time they're necessary because mathematically Curry can win.
Every one of them was counted because I was there. And we made them counted. I made my challenges tell them counted. I wanted every vote counted because I was also a candidate. I just want to get the record straight, okay?
All right.
George was there. Thank you.
Hey, David, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, since you were down there this last time, was there any discussion about what happened to the hundreds of thousands of ballots from the general election that were never accounted for, that were supposedly returned to sender? Was that subject brought up at all?
The subject was brought up that we wanted to know how many were returned to sender. By the time I left yesterday, we had not got that number, and I haven't talked to anybody today about that. Honestly, I left Michigan at 2 a.m. in a snowstorm, and I played 20 mile an hour getting out of the state to get to Ohio, and then I stopped back after that was done. I've had a lot of messages about how we're counting this and what went on. So I did a Facebook Live earlier, and I figured I'd come on tonight, and, you know, you can ask me anything, and I can tell you what I know.
All right. The other question I had, too, the UAWD website, I went on there last night and today, and I know that when they were doing the live updates, they normally put the last time that they did that live update, and I noticed that the current update of all the region counts didn't have that last time that they updated it. Is that the final unofficial count that's listed on the website right now without a time stamp or whatever that they put? Because there's nothing saying when the last update was. I just wanted to know for verification purposes if that was what the final outcome was from Friday's voting before they stopped it.
That was what the final outcome was Saturday, and I don't think they counted those until after 3, and that was probably mostly an oversight on Nathan Pensler. Nathan is working his ass off down there, and he's making sure every vote gets counted. He's making sure it's fair.
So did you stay until everybody was dismissed yesterday then?
I did not. We had, God, I think there were 8 of us there. Curry only had 5.
Okay. And everything was on the up and up as far as everything being sealed for the challenge ballots before you guys left?
Yeah.
All right.
Everything was on
Thank
the up
you.
And up. Everything was sealed.
Thank you.
Yep.
David,
hey,
this is Adrian, and I just want to say thank you for being an observer and a challenger. We, you know, need more people sometimes to be able to do this, but we appreciate that you were one, and I appreciate you doing the Facebook Live. I did look at it this morning or early afternoon. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, no. It's, you know, Brian and I have talked a lot lately, and Brian and I talked most of my drive back last night, and we can't be divided in this anymore. We have to figure out which way this is going, because us being fraction doesn't work. And I think Brian and I proved after we talked and him and Sean talked that on the other front works better, because Brian's votes carried over to Sean.
Now, whoever's making noise, please mute your phone. Please, if you're talking, mute your phone.
Yeah, that was one of the metrics I was tracking, was Brian's 14% overall versus Sean's 38 and Ray's 38. And in 1D, we should have lost, except the Keller votes. Brian's votes brought us back up because we added on to his percentage. I don't know what happened in Region 8, other than I know Ray Curry had a lot of people work in that region because it was home.
Wow, there you go, Brian.
Wow.
And I got to agree with Adrian. You know, it's important. I know your heart's in the right place. You guys are definitely, you are diligent, because, you know, I mean, it's important. You guys have been pushing for the same thing for a long time, and it's good to have eyes on what's going on that close, that really knows what's going on.
Well, you know, if we're all in this for the right reason, and we are, and that's reform, we can't be fractured anymore, because the administration caucus isn't going away. They still got seats on that board. They're going to come back. If we're fractured, they can keep splitting us. And we can't afford that split anymore. That doesn't work for the membership or anyone's future. All that does was hurt us. I mean, we drug each other down in the mud. We all know what we did to each other. I mean,
right.
And if Brian and I can work shit out, and I know I can work with Brian, and Brian can work with me, and Brian and I talk a lot lately. And Brian has some really great ideas, and Brian and I agree on a couple of different issues. And one is, this election system has to be changed.
Right. Right, definitely.
Brian made the point that it should be done at the region, and there's enough regional and satellite offices that it should be done. And if we're going to stay one man, one vote, we should probably buy our own damn tabulation machines.
Yes.
The monitor's going to go. And to Jason's point of Margaret has the authority, she actually doesn't this time. They took that authority, the monitor took that authority away, and the monitor has to certify that election.
I tried to tell you that.
And that authority was taken away, so the admin caucus couldn't stop the vote and do this.
Yeah, he needs to go. His law firm works for General Block, works for General Motors. He was oversight
for
Sharp. It is a conflict of interest. The man should not even be in the position.
It does not make any difference. The court approved him.
Thank you, Adrian.
Okay, I mean, we can't go on who he works for and all of that. No.
Yeah.
We have to go according to the court approved the monitor that was selected by the administration caucus.
That's the way that he was on there yesterday. Barblowski wasn't there. It was Glenn McGordy.
Okay.
And I felt like there was some serious bias on Glenn's part towards Ray Curry, that he wanted Ray to win. I felt that way. I don't know if anybody else down there felt that way, but I felt like he was pushing for Curry to win.
Well, the bias is there.
There's a bias there.
There.
I believe there's a bias there.
Yes, the bias is there because the caucus, the administration caucus, chose that law firm to be the federal monitor. They had a choice between three different monitors.
Yeah. What are you
and
doing?
That's the one that they picked.
We need to
know. Adrian, hang on a second. Somebody needs to mute their phone.
Please.
I'm hearing a TV or children in the background.
It's like chirping.
And Adrian, to that point, it wouldn't have mattered who the monitor was, because if I'm giving you $13 to $26 million a year, you're not going to try to bite the hand that feeds you.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
You got a job as long as you're in office.
Let's stop right there. Okay, you say if I'm giving you, it's like it's not I'm giving you, it's we're giving you. That
no,
money
I was
comes
saying,
from us.
I know. I was saying the example that if I was giving you $13 million a year, you wouldn't want to see me go anywhere. So, of course, with the administration topic giving them $13 to $26 million a year, they don't want, the monitor doesn't want to see them go anywhere.
But the monitor is supposed, the monitor, this is not the first time that this person has been monitored. This is a federal monitor that is supposed to stay as neutral as possible. And that's not impossible to do, believe me. Now, I know why things are somewhat tainted. And that's why I said I'm going to stay away from that. But, no, the monitor is not supposed to have a bias or lean toward. And that's what's going on.
Yeah, well, like I said, I can't say that for sure, but that's the feeling I have. I have the feeling
that
I'm on the right side of the way.
I have a question for Jason. Why are they moving the location? Is it because the time period that they had down there in Dayton, the lease was up? Why are they moving the ballot?
Yeah, Dave would be better to answer it, but I spoke to two different challengers yesterday, observers, and I got kind of like a mix, and that's what they told me, that the lease, the space was leased for X amount of time. Their lease was up. He had 1,600 ballots to count, okay? So then the next thing was the verification. Well, that's when the whole thing about anonymity came into play. It's like, wait a minute, if these ballots are anonymous, then they're anonymous. You can't verify them. But that creates a whole other situation. I was told it was because their time was up where they leased it. But as Adrian stated, with the number of ballots that had returned versus what had happened in the prior election, why didn't they secure the time or the space for that amount of time? We can't even verify if what they're saying is true. We don't know that their time was up. We know that they pulled them off the table and they planned what they intend to do, you know. And the fact that the monitor is the one that is verifying these people's status whenever he can, whenever this financial secretary, you're basically leaving it up to somebody who Glenn McGordy was the monitor during the debates. You know, if you look at Stephen Greenhouse, the bias seems to be there. So you're putting the control for verification of these 1,600 ballots in the hands of a person who has a motivation for the incumbents to win. It's a problem.
Well, I can tell you this. They packed that building up quick. All the tables, all the chairs, all the voting machines, they had it all on trucks by the time I left about 2:30, 3 o'clock. So they don't plan on coming back. McGordy said he doesn't plan on coming back to Dayton at all. He said it might be somewhere in Detroit. I assume this is going to take a week. I don't think we'll get any action on this until after the Caterpillar vote. That's my personal opinion.
This is also unbelievable. I mean, it's believable, but it's unbelievable.
Carry on.
It's your judgment.
What? No, I'm saying it's believable, but with all this craziness, but it's unbelievable to a lot of people that want reform so bad. We're just like, really? They should have made them stay and count them votes, in my opinion. I don't care if they had to work through the night. Those ballots that were in dispute, they should have had to work through the night.
The moment that they left the custody of the observers and they just continued to count, in my mind, they would be void. I don't care if you put a seal on it. You don't think that I can get a seal-making machine or I can get padlocks that are light, that are keyed alike. You don't think I can get two identical seals? So when I seal it in front of you, you verify the numbers. I cut the fucking thing off of it. I stick another seal on there with the same number. How do you know? You just don't know. The fact is that they should not have left the possession or the custody. They should have been counted in front of them. And if they couldn't be counted,
agreed,
then you reject them. I mean, Dave, you told me about the Post-it note, right? They rejected ballots for less than not being able to verify standing.
Well, in the election rules, it stated if there was anything that could identify you on the ballot that was rejected, they rejected. The one I told you about, it was marked for Sean, and then it was crossed out, and then it was marked for Curry, and then he put a note on it, and it said, sorry, I meant to vote for Ray Curry, not Sean Fain, and signed his name. That was automatically void. Another person voting for Ray Curry, he signed his name at the bottom of the ballot. That was void. The one I had issue with, and I lost that issue, was there was a ballot for Sean. The vote, there was a ballot that was marked for Sean, and it was marked for, I think, Bressler. And, of course, somebody didn't read the instructions on the ballot, and they put a check mark after their name, and they ran that ballot as is with nothing in the Scantron circle. So it was an uncounted ballot, and I argued that it should be filled in, and I got overruled. So there was nothing I could do about that one. There was a lot of weird things like that. People tried to, like, do the anonymous thing, like there was something in the black marks around the ballot that could identify you, so they cut those off, and they just cut out the candidate's name they wanted, and they let those go. They remade the ballot. They stamped the bad ballot, and then they remarked it, and I watched the remark station a long time to watch how that worked, to see what they were doing. They weren't changing the vote on it. They were marking it correctly. Like if a slitter cut it, we had a lot of those. They would tape it back up. If it would run through the machine, they would run it. If it wouldn't, they would make a new ballot. But yeah,
all
they rejected it for less.
I hope they don't drag those up to Region 1A.
Where the hell do you think they're coming when they're coming to Detroit?
Well, I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter where they go. It really doesn't matter where they go. They had enough time to go through those ballots like they should have. If you have to stay for 24 hours, you knew that you had this lease for just a certain amount of time. The reason that you did that is because, oh, this is covered, supposedly. Or did you not have enough time so that it wouldn't be covered? One of the two. So there's no reason that all of these ballots have not been verified, which they should have been at the beginning. And all of them should have been counted, and it should be over.
Well, Adrian, to that point, the UAW sent people down to monitor that weren't associated with either campaign. And why they didn't have access to Lewis right there on the floor, that really boggles my mind. We should have had somebody from UAW who could have went in and verified those ballots immediately, and we shouldn't be in this situation at all, or we should have thrown them all and called the election.
I agree with that.
I mean, if you're going to send legal down there, you could have sent somebody with access to Lewis to verify.
Well, let me ask you this question, since you brought that up. Was Margaret Malt there?
Margaret was not there.
See, that would have been the person that we would have had to have there to verify through Lewis.
Right, but the UAW did send their own legal people.
Excuse me?
UAW sent legal down. So Curry had challengers, Sean had challengers, and the UAW sent legal down to observe. Why none of those people from legal were able to have access to Lewis on the floor or at the count, I don't understand that. I mean, if you couldn't verify those in the week leading up to the election or even the day or even Friday when they were verifying still, there should have been somebody from the UAW down there that had access to that system that could have checked on those ballots and said yes or no and finished that election.
Agreed.
With those 1,600 ballots, I mean, they shouldn't even – I feel like they shouldn't even be counted without an affidavit from these financial secretaries because – I don't trust
right.
financial secretaries anymore. I don't trust anybody involved in this at the moment on the Curry side, on the admin caucus side.
And
I mean,
very rightfully so.
If you know somebody's voting for Sean Fain and you're an admin caucus supporter, Are you going to say yes or no when the call comes in?
Right. Right.
Then, I mean,
and the majority of the local structures
got a lot of UAW money, and they can fly right down to San Antonio this week with the financial secretary and get answers and get affidavits. So that's kind of where I was at with it when I left. I wasn't real happy.
No, it's not.
Well, I'm not happy. I'm really not happy with this. And in the future, somebody, I hope that things get changed around and improved on our election system. I just feel that maybe they could put these voting machines, as you said, in the regions, and everyone go to the regions with their ballots.
Yeah, well, that, you know, Brian brought that up last night, and it's a good idea. And my wife made a counterpoint to that about retirees. And, yeah, maybe let the retiree mail their ballots back, and that's it, because there's probably retirees
right.
that don't have a legal office.
That makes sense.
I mean, we don't want to exclude anyone from voting, but we don't want to keep going through this every time we have an election.
Right.
Right. Well, and they hold a national contract vote every 4 years. So it's not like they don't have – they've got elections committees locally. They have the means to be able to do it. It's already in place. They just chose to use the balloting the way that they did, and this is the cause of it all. It could have been done – how long does it take to vote on a contract? You know, if they were to schedule them all in one day, which they don't, they stretch them over 2 weeks. But you could literally vote a contract up or down within 24 to 48 hours. If all the booths, the voting machines were in place, there's no reason that they – and then the numbers get sent up, certified by the local election committee, certified, sent to the Solidarity House. There's no reason – they could send the physical ballots later. You know what I mean?
Well,
it could all be
done
in a couple of days.
But to that point is, then you have to make sure you have ethical and moral election committees in your local.
Right, I agree.
I'm still talking about election committees right now because I just got elected to one.
Hey,
right.
We're talking
so,
about UAW.
Right.
You know, you're talking about the UAW,
right.
and you're talking about the admin caucus who like to play with numbers. We know this. We
right.
know what they've done. So I wouldn't trust voting at the local either. I mean, at the regional office,
right?
With an outside
right.
contact
for
the voting machine, I'd be more comfortable.
Right.
Well, I'm
when
not comfortable with the Merriman Group. See, the Merriman Group, they haven't been right either.
Yes, Adrian.
And then, like I said, if there was 1.1 million ballots mailed out, where are these ballots?
Where's the receipts
we don't want
for the printing
them.
And the mailing?
That is correct. Where is all of this? See, I know the Merriman Group is not all right. Because
Amen.
We sent money twice for a blast, and they didn't even send half of the blast out.
Well, that's the same thing that happened with the illegal emails in 2B, letter 9A or 9. You know, they got caught cheating, and then the remedy was, well, the rest of the candidates can do it too. And by the time that happened, it was too late. There was
but,
no,
but I'm not talking about the illegal
no,
stuff
the
that happened
I'm talking
within.
About the monitor and the Merriman Group.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Merriman Group, which is a third party.
Right, which was
it,
the election.
It didn't do what it was supposed to
list.
Do. It didn't do what it was supposed to do.
Not
here,
at all.
Here.
But still, they were collecting money.
And they owe us a refund.
Actually, they do.
I told them already. It's in my appeal.
You know, the Merriman Group holding the global mailing list, I don't like that either.
Nope.
No.
I mean, that's kind of a grift to me because they get to charge for that and they get to charge at their rate and not at a rate that you could have done better at.
Right.
I mean, if you're an independent candidate like Brian was and you're not bringing in a ton of money, that you could have shopped
right.
around and you could have got a better rate to send emails or to send postcards or to send mailing, Whereas yes. the Merriman Group gave you that flat rate of this is what you get and this is all you get. And now going into the next election, you know, 3-4 years from now, you're at a $2,000 cap, which the UAW can't track that either. Their system won't do it. So that $2,000 cap's kind of screwy too, because the UAW system can't tell, you know, they can't track who donated and how much. So it's going to come down to who's being honest about it and who's not being honest about it. This election
right.
thing,
and if,
one man, one vote is great, but the way we're doing it is not working. I don't see where this is going to work in the long run, especially if we don't have a monitor. If we take
right.
this in-house, this doesn't work currently the way it works.
Well, as far as the campaign finance, I mean, you could tell all your supporters, instead of maybe setting up a flower fund, you could tell them all to maybe assemble at your church and tithe, and the church will donate that to the campaign, and they
well,
still get money in the same
the
manner, but through a different means.
The rules on the next one are you have to be a UAW employee, and it's up to, and you can only do $2,000. But there's no way to track it yet. Hopefully, Sean wins. We get a way to track that. I mean, even with Margaret in there, we should get a way to track that.
Right.
If Curry wins, I don't know if they're going to figure out a way to track that. I mean, you and I talked about something yesterday, Jason. I'm not going to bring it up on the radio, but they can't track what
yes.
I told you either.
Well, I know. They have no idea, but that doesn't. It's not even the finance, it's the balloting end of it. It
right.
There's too much potential for making moves that can't be verified. And, you know, the counteracting debate against Sean, it doesn't really matter. He's not campaigning no more. It was bullshit, you know, about who they – because if there was a real complaint about campaign finance on Sean's part, they would have filed a complaint with the monitor. They didn't do that. This was about influencing the vote. You know, the dark
oh,
money.
Clearly.
Well, you got dark ballots, man. You got ballots from people that shouldn't have gotten ballots. And, you know, I mean, they caught a few of them, but how many got through that didn't get caught? You know, and they were campaigning on – right. Well, yeah. And then the campaigning on, you know, outside money, they were campaigning on the members' dime. They were showing up at the locals, places they hadn't been in decades. Some of them had been seated and never seen the inside of these facilities. And all of a sudden, it was pertinent. They had to go there for union business. Come on.
Well, the Curry Slate pledged to take money from UAW members. They didn't say how.
Right.
And how they did it was
really
they did it on union business.
Can I interrupt real quick? Is Brian still on? Brian?
Yeah, I'm on.
All right. Hey, Don, can you put Brian and area called 313-379 in the green room?
313 what? 379. 379, let me find it. 379. There's 663-680. That's it. 313
Uh-oh.
Get the wrong number.
Right. Yeah, 313
Nobody's
790. 790, I'm sorry. 313-790.
Well, I got that. Okay, hang on. I'll be right with you. This takes a year. You can talk while I do this, guys.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, gentlemen. I apologize.
790, I'm going to put you in the green room right now. And I'm going to go down here to find Brian. And Brian, I think...
Yep.
You're in the room. I'm gonna jump in the green room to make sure you guys are in there. Go ahead, guys.
All right. I apologize, Joe. Let's continue your conversation.
Is David still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
This is George. I was down there in the fall. as an observer for Brian. You probably see me down there. I got a few questions. How do they come up with the? Because I think Jimmy said a week before they do an eligibility test.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. They do an eligibility test the week before.
How does that perform? Does that perform without opening the ballots up?
That is performed without opening the ballots up. If you saw my Facebook Live earlier, and you can go look at it, what had happened to me was as I got a ballot and I sent it back, and it took them 3 weeks to receive it, so I requested another one, and I forgot I had it until this morning. And Jason had asked me about the anonymity of it. So I pulled that ballot out and I opened it, and that's when I realized that that's how they contest the eligibility. They have your region on the return envelope, and they have your local on it. So the ballots aren't opened until they get to where you were at the sorting center. Now, neither Curry's team nor Sean's team sent anybody to the eligibility test, so I can't really speak to how that worked.
That was my next question. How do they come up with these names without the Lewis system down there?
They have the global mailing list that all the candidates were allowed to mail from through the vendor. So the vendor is holding a list. Of course, the vendor is holding a bad list.
I'm just reading my notes here because I go ahead.
It's just Scotty, you want me to tack on another half hour? We'll go to 9 o'clock.
So we're going to 9 o'clock?
I don't know, Scott. Scott's not answering.
I'm on mute. I apologize. If you guys think we need to go a half an hour, we can go an extra half an hour. That's
important.
You guys want me to go to 9 o'clock?
Please.
Okay, here
okay.
we go. 9 o'clock.
And I might drop off, so but yeah, let's continue the conversation, I guess.
Thank you.
You got 2 minutes, 42 minutes. Go ahead, guys. Well, you got to talk. I asked
I think George was asking David some questions, I think.
Oh,
George
okay.
has some questions, so I was waiting for the next one.
Okay, am I still on?
Yeah,
okay.
You're on.
We got you.
Okay, thank you. I was down there, and you said there was half the workers down there, and Adrian couldn't understand why it would take so long. They were so unorganized down there the first time. They had these kids opening ballots up, which I'm sure they had them done this time, the same kids, but it's just an unorganized, slow process. And to get back to David about them return to sender ballots, I was in the cage for a half hour counting them, trying to count them. They would not answer one question for me on them. They would not open one for me. Actually, the supervisor in the cage was going to answer some questions for me, and the floor supervisor heard them. He turned around, come back in, and said, don't answer no questions about them ballots. So I heard you say something about no questions were answered yet. Well, you're not going to get no answers on them ballots.
Yeah, we don't think we are either. But, you know, George, when you were down there, they had that main room there with tables on both sides, right?
There was, there was like five rows on each side.
Yeah, we only had half that this time.
Okay. Then if we had a challenge, they'd lay them on the table up by the booth, by the machines. Everybody go up there and look at them, yes or no, and that was it.
Yeah, same setup.
That's how they challenged them.
George, it was just half the people this time, and it was still disorganized, and there were a lot of pauses and a lot of breaks and a lot of, you know, people sitting without ballots waiting to get them from the slitter.
Yep. Yeah, they even had, you know, the splitter was going so slow. I think the kids were even splitting them themselves when I was down there. Okay, I'm on the side.
Well, that was the other thing. Did they discuss the people that came in to sort the ballots prior to the counting? Because we know that happened the first time. They sorted them into regions, into locals, so that way when you guys came in, they were all set to go.
Well, they were all sorted into regions and locals before I got there, so I don't know what that process was. I think they came out of the eligibility testing while they were sorting.
Okay, so they didn't discuss it with you guys. They actually told George and the observers in the first time that they had been sorted. The thing is, though, these ballots are collectively over a period of, you know, 5 weeks are being sent to a facility, and then somebody has their hands on them.
You have to remember, I wasn't there on day one either.
Right.
So I don't know what happened on day one.
So they may have went over it with the observers.
Yeah, they may have went over it with who we had down there at the time.
The problem with that, though, is, okay, so even if they couldn't identify who the individual was that voted, which we know they can because they are verifying individuals, just having the information about what region, what local came from, and then in the prior election, having the data to go off of from the referendum vote, they know which local supported reform, that voted for one member, one vote. In the general election, there were entire locals that didn't return one ballot. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Even the local leadership would have voted. You know, I'm sure they're filing their LM2s for these locals, so they would have voted. The local leadership, the structures would have voted. There's no way that they're not going to get one ballot back. Now, I'm not contesting Brian's election. I'm just pointing this out because at this juncture in this election, we have to make sure that nothing is left unchecked, because if they have an advantage or a way of making things work to their favor, it's going to happen. The idea, like you said, as far as the monitor verifying these people standing, you know, there's nothing overseeing him to know if, while he's making these calls to verify, if they are in fact saying they are in good standing. I mean, all the ones for potentially anybody that votes for Sean, they could say that they don't have standing. And how do you check that?
You know, that's exactly
1,600 votes.
That's exactly what I told Jason earlier. Is they need an observer on the end of every sitting beside each person calling these locals so they can hear the answers.
Right.
Well, like I said, you know, the UAW sent their legal department down to observe this too. Why didn't anyone have access to Lewis from the UAW legal? That would have cured it right there. We were all there.
Probably a contingency plan.
Were there. You know, all the observers were there. And,
right.
You know, they could have brought
right.
that up, and we could have verified and counted and been done.
Well,
it may be illegal for the legal department to have access to that.
Well, I'm just saying they could have sent any kind of representative that could have had access to that. They could have sent Margaret.
Not anyone can have access.
Well, Margaret could have.
Yes.
Somebody from Margaret's office has access. They could have sent someone.
One of her assistants could have.
Yep.
999, you are on.
It's just funny to get down to, you know, a 650 vote lead, and there's a very high potential that Sean's going to win, and then they shut it down. That just seems,
yeah.
Regardless of how it happened, what the excuses are, the fact is the count was interrupted. I don't know if this is happening at a local level ever. When did they ever shut down a count in the middle? Or
never
close
heard.
To the end?
Yep.
Right.
Never heard of it.
It's very suspect.
So is there any way at the end, if we're not happy with the outcome, that we can file something on it or protest?
Well, good, it's a possibility, but I wouldn't discuss it on these airways.
Right, but even if we did, what good would it do? You got a monitor that openly admits they all cheat and doesn't hold them accountable. I mean, none of these clowns should have been allowed to stay in the goddamn election for all the violations. Think about that, people.
The whole thing was a clusterfuck.
It was just a yes or no question.
Oh, my God.
It was just a yes or no question. I didn't mean to get into detail on it.
You okay, George?
Hey, George, I like it when you can bring the cluster out in Adrian.
Yeah, this is just, this is unreal. It's unreal.
It's awful suspicious.
Yes. I keep saying I have trust issues. I'll just put it that way.
Well, Adrian, that's one of the reasons I went down on the last day was because you hear about it, you're told about it, but unless you're there to actually witness it, I don't trust it.
Right. But you can't, sometimes you can't even trust it if you're there.
Right.
Because you see what happened. So it's like,
we've seen
are
that
we before. Trusting this? No, we're not trusting this.
No.
Well, that was the maddest four-hour car ride I've ever had coming back.
I can bet. Yeah, that'd be disappointing.
That's Brian's fault. I got you all worked up.
Can you imagine if you had to drive in Ohio with that kind of snow? It would have took you 8 hours.
Yeah.
I left Ohio and it was 60 and sunny and I got back to bullshit again.
Oh man!
Well, at least you didn't come back. At least you didn't come back glowing.
Well, I wasn't drinking Ohio water. I don't drink the water in Flint either.
He didn't send no dummy down there.
Hey, I get
didn't
to
he?
Well, I saw the 852
little Mexican city.
I saw the 852 people from my local that drank the water. They voted the wrong way.
I get my water from the lake. I don't get it from the Ohio River, so I guess at least at this point that's not polluted.
You don't drink it out of the urinal?
Oh man. Yeah,
hey, food for thought. I brought up a while back that you know, I believe that with Ray Curry's board appointment with Mercedes ends, I believe, in June or July, that I believe that his relevance to being on that board would still be contingent at that point on whether or not he's GAW president, but for relevance, but also now being appointed to be on a committee board by the President of the United States for international trade. Well, Mercedes is out of Germany. That's international. So I wonder if there's relevance to any of this. Well, it's presumptuous under the assumption that that Ray Curry is going to be the president. Do they know something we don't know?
About that, guys. That's export. They're all trying to get in our country. They ain't selling shit over there, remember?
They got their own plants. If they service another country, they have their own facilities in other countries. So that right there.
No, what I mean is
model.
They want to come here. They're not trying to export. You know what I'm saying? They want those companies.
I know exactly what you're saying.
With the manufacturer or Mexico.
Importing.
Right. That's a fact.
They want on this continent.
Well, that appointment alone, if Sean Fain wins, is there any relevance for Ray Curry to be on that presidential board? You know, I know he did things for the Democrats because there's videos on C-SPAN of Ray working for the Democratic Party. I mean, I could pull the links, but he was working for it's on C-SPAN. There's video of him.
But there was already something said and we don't want to repeat it again as to why Ray Curry is being put on that commission of that export.
Exactly.
We don't want to repeat that.
Did you guys read what it said on them? There was 26 people that got put on this council. He was not the only one. Ray was
correct.
The third or fourth one down. If you read, it said about all his positions that he's had. Hell, the only thing he was ever elected to by the membership was the director out there. Everything else has been appointed.
Even SCIAB, the director's spot.
Yeah, but he was elected lunch bitch, too, though. I like that guy more and more.
Yeah, but it did lie and say he was elected. Everything under there says he was elected to it, and he was not. The positions he held were not even elected positions until he got to the region.
Well, if you look at his UAW bio, it doesn't say he was elected at anything. It says he served in numerous blah, blah, blahs. It never says he was elected.
Exactly.
And in the first debate, he did state that he won numerous elections locally. But from my understanding, he was winning elections within committees that he was appointing to. So like the elections committee, maybe he was elected chair. Organizing committee, civil rights committee, all these other committees. And so I guess that's what he's counting towards winning an election. But an actual election, that's the thing that's disingenuous, because he spoke to Sean as if he has some experience that Sean doesn't have. He's got a year and a half as president. That's true. But Sean won elections for every seat. He was a five-time chairman. So
We're talking about what the White House has put out. That he was elected to all of these positions. He has never been elected until he went to the region, and then he was not elected by the membership even for that. He was not elected when he got the position of UAW president by the membership. He was elected by the executive board.
Thank you.
That's a fact.
So that White House little synopsis on him is a lie.
Yep.
The White House lies?
The only thing that's not right is that he hired him in 92 and was facing a layoff, so he joined the service and he did one full term and one term as reserve, then came back and went right into labor negotiations. Labor laws, and from then on out, he was appointed all the way until he got to the, in fact, even for Region 8 director out there, or 9 director out there, it almost looks like that was appointed.
He was appointed to be assistant director.
Yep, exactly right. I was just going to say it was assistant.
Right.
Yep.
The election would come in when he became a director, but that was through IEB selection and an election from the delegates it's already predetermined. Sean covered that during the debates. It's already decided before it ever takes place.
Because he holds an MBA degree on accounting from the University of Alabama, where he met Gary Jones.
He's never faced a general membership election like Sean has. It's always been delegates and appointments. Scott's on here somewhere, I think. Scott just watched the same thing I watched at our last union meeting, where there were 31 nominees and 31 were selected. I won an election, but I don't feel like I won an election because I didn't have to do anything. I just showed up. And that's pretty much what happened to Ray Curry. And I don't know if the White House lied or if that's the bio Ray Curry sent the White House. That could just be Curry lying. And,
that's
Ray Curry doesn't lie.
I know. And imagine. I can't imagine the White House lying to us. Come on.
That wouldn't be a little white lie. That would be a big white lie.
Oh.
I did see where Case
has got, what is it, a six-year contract they're voting on? I don't think that's good. 6 years is bad news in this boy's eyes.
With the rate of inflation, cost of living inflation, I think that is a bad thing.
So it's a horrible contract. If you look at it real deep, it's only 19% across 6 years.
Oh.
And a couple of lump sums, and that comes out to 3% a year, but they bump their health care costs 2%, so it only comes out to 1%.
Thank you for pointing out how they capped it over all the years. Everybody goes, well, yeah, inflation is 18%. You don't get it. It's 7% this year, 7% next year. What else? You ain't got none left.
Yeah, 7% in this year, and then 3%, and then a 4% lump sum, and a 3%. Yeah, it's not a good contract. But it's also voted on the 12th.
Well, hopefully they vote it down. I mean, you're losing ground. If the rate of inflation is higher than what your pay raise is negotiated, they're basically locking them into a wage while the inflationary rate's out of control. And essentially by the end of the contract, won't even be completely to the end of the contract, they're going to see a standard of living decreases. You know, that's not a, that's the thing. The manufacturers are not taking any less money. See, okay, I'm just going to use Ford as an example. I mean, back in 07, before the tiers, before the concessions, when everybody's making top rate, the cost of a brand new truck was $45,000 if you spec'd it out. 47, maybe. All right? So now the labor cost is cut in half. People are making half as much as they did to do the same job. Now, I understand some of the progression are now reaching top rate. There's some by the end of the contract that hadn't been that will be. So there are people in different stages of progression. But the fact is the cost of labor probably went from between 7 and 9% to around 3% of the cost of labor embedded into the retail price of the vehicle. And the cost of the vehicles have gone from $45,000 up to $7,000. There's no fucking thing as such thing as a $70,000 truck in my mind, unless it's a commercial dump truck and you're making $100,000, $200,000 a year running it. A personal pickup truck is not worth $70,000. Their cost is for labor is nothing. They're making tons of money. They're wanting to cut 30% of the workforce out. They have the money. Give these people their pensions. Give them their due. You're building, and they went from chasing market share. You don't hear nothing about market share. I'm sure they're going to say it at contract time, but that's not their business model. Their business model is not to increase market share. It's to increase the profitability within a shrinking market. They've reduced the numbers of vehicles that they're building. They're not trying to supply everybody in the country a vehicle anymore.
That's right.
They're trying to increase their profits. Pay your people, yeah. Man. Take care of your people. They make you the money. You know?
But when you have members that says that I have to, what do I tell the customers out here who's purchasing our vehicles? They're trying to do the marketing for the company. It's not your job to market for the company. The company has marketing departments to do that. Your job, you have a job description, and marketing is not part of it. Do your job.
Yeah, I just hope this all comes out the way we want it to.
Yeah, just I thought for sure we have an answer. Damn. Now, how
so
far
the
is,
last people. I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
Dan. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Carrie.
No, go
ahead,
honey.
No, you just,
well,
no.
Okay,
get a room already, all right?
You know what? I know where you work. I'm about to come clap you. So.
Woohoo!
So. Best case scenario for the person that was one of the last people at that in Ohio that was still there when they were sealing them all up, best case scenario, and you might not be able to answer this, were they even talking about maybe, I don't know if I did hear it or if, I don't know, are they going to start this back up come tomorrow?
I mean, was there any talk like that?
We had that talk. That talk was had, and we got very little answers out of Glenn McGordy. He didn't know when we were going to pick it back up, is what he said. The last thing I heard was he wasn't sure what day they were going to pick it back up, but it would be soon. He didn't know what day they would be counted, but it would be soon. He didn't know how long it would take, but it would be soon, and that we weren't coming back to Ohio, that we would probably count these in Detroit. And that's pretty much his exact wording of those questions was, it'll be soon.
Well, then how would any observers know when they needed to be in a spot? Because don't they have the right to be there?
We will have observers. We will have them there. We will be notified of when that's going to take place and where that's going to take place, and then we will resubmit the observer list. And I'm sure it's going to be pretty much who we had before. It may be me more than one day this time. I may get more if I have more notice. So there will be observers. Sean's campaign manager will get all that information as soon as it's available, and then that will get put out, and then we will get the observer list going again. So
are they
going
to compensate
you? Thank you.
Instead of your campaign paying you, I would think that because this debacle is, or this extension has taken place because of their fault, I would think that they should have to compensate you for your wages and let you off on union business to be an observer.
Well, we know that's not going to happen because I don't play for the right team.
Right, right. But you see what I'm saying. You know, I mean, it just seems like a way that potentially some observers may not be available. It's really convenient. And I know Sean's campaigns have having to pay for all these observers the same way as Brian's did for George and for everybody else did for theirs.
Actually, we did this on our own dime.
What?
We didn't get paid from Sean's campaign for this. This was on our own dime. We were completely volunteer. A lot of retirees, quite a few active. The other side, on the other hand, most of their observers were on staff.
So I know that you listed that on your that was listed on the financial logs as being voluntary, but it's got a cost to it. And it has
got
to be listed on the financial logs.
None of them were appointed, were they? Were any of them appointed to any positions, do you know of? That would be really nice to know.
What?
Do any of them people that were there from the staff, do any of them have appointed positions, or were they all just strictly from legal?
No. Curry's observers were all appointed to staff.
So they've got them. Okay.
Right. So, you know, I'm not going to throw anybody on the bus on the radio show. But if you go through the staff directory on the, you know, union facts page, if you want to use that, or the LM2 on who's on staff, I think it was about 99% of Curry's observers were on staff.
Thank you.
I mean, from assistant majors down to servicing reps. On Sean's side, it was me, an hourly guy who works on the floor, five retirees, a couple of guys from Huddleston's local. It was people who were putting on the floor who already retired. So we will definitely have observers there. I mean, we'll be there in one shape or another. If it's the retirees who can go or if it's us working who can go, there will be people there.
And we got more people that just joined. Could you go? There's 1,605. Alex got to check out. Is that right?
1608, yeah.
08. And how far is Sean up?
640.
Okay. That's a personal message somebody wanted to know.
They might not even need to count all the ballots if Sean gets a lead enough where Ray can't catch him.
At this point, of those 1,608 ballots, it takes 640 for Curry to tie. which still leaves 1,000 ballots, which means he's got to take over half of another 1,000 ballots, another 992. Curry has to have half plus one to win. Sean has to have half plus one to win. Mathematically possible. Realistically, I can't see Curry pulling 80% of those regions in total on the challenge ballot. I just can't see it.
Not when his highest region was a 66%. That would be very peculiar. Very suspect.
Can I make a comment about Glenn right quick?
Well, yeah,
go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, I just want to say that Glenn, I discovered, Glenn is not the monitor, which you all know that, and he takes authority. So I was thinking he can't answer some of the questions because he has to contact that monitor, Mr. Barsky, whatever his name is. And that's who he's getting his direction from. So he has his boss as the judge. Also, Dave, I want to thank you for the work you did. You've been so resourceful to all of us. Okay?
Thanks, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
I come to you
with
one, yeah.
That's a good statement. That's a good statement there, Sharon. Being that it's happening in Detroit and in their backyard, I would think that Glenn McCourty shouldn't even have to be present. His boss should be there, so there's no – we have to ask somebody else. We want a definitive answer today.
I was insulted.
You know, just like not having access to Lucy.
Yeah, I was insulted when I found out the monitor himself is not there. And we were talking
mm-hmm.
with Glenn. We started laughing. We thought Glenn
mm-hmm.
was the man. Glenn is not the man.
Mm-hmm. And your job is oversight of the UAW in the most important event that's taking place in your oversight. This is the most important event from the time that he's been hired to that position or appointed by Judge Lawson until now. There's absolutely no reason other than the fact that he maybe want to remove himself from liability as to why he is not
that's
president.
The reason. You answered the reason. I discovered that after he received all those appeals. And I was like, oh, I see. He don't want the responsibility, so you tell Glenn, and then Glenn will, if you make Glenn mad, he'll kind of be sharp with you. And I finally figured out Glenn wasn't the monitor. George, we didn't know that at the time. Mm-hmm.
Thank you
yeah.
for that, Sam.
Yeah.
Sure would
yeah.
feel better with the camera on that can or those ballots.
Yeah.
You just feel
that's
better.
Still unanswered. That's an unanswered question right now.
Hmm. I'm with Adrian.
We know he's flawed. It's a flaw. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I just – go ahead, Sharon.
No, I just wanted to wrap up and make sure that we, you know, I like truth, and I like you. I like to make sure you have the facts, even if you don't go with it. And when I hear something that's not right or needs to be said, I just want it on record. Okay?
No.
That's
all
why
right.
I always push through. Everybody's doing a good job. You're thinking good. You're listening. I've been there. I was at the place. I know
mm-hmm.
what it looks like, and I know what's going on. If someone asks me, I'll go down there and get my time to observe, but I'm going to just stay with the process and work with
right.
you guys. That's why I come on. Okay, thank you. Keep it moving.
I don't know if Paul's still here, but I was going to ask him how he feels, but I think
yeah.
he's gone, but I hope he feels better. He's been sick.
Okay.
Brother Paul.
But he's getting stronger every day.
Yeah, yeah. He ain't heavy. He's our brother, you know. Don't get me singing.
Well, I just want to say thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
4:30 comes early. Some of us are still working.
You're more than welcome to be on the show anytime you want.
What plant are you working at, Dave?
Flint Truck.
That's where I hired in 78.
You work with me?
Yeah, I work at the truck plant.
Okay, I'm at 598.
You're Yeah, I was back in the old days.
The old, old days.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, David.
Yeah, you guys are welcome.
All right, Dave.
Everybody have a good night.
Oh, you too, buddy. Thank you very much for
that. Good night, Dave.
Call anytime.
Anytime. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. Ah, we got some good information. David, thank you. And we got 8 minutes and 54 seconds to go, folks.
Well, before you guys get going again, I'll get this out of my mouth. Sharon, I want to tell you thank you very much through this whole process. At the time where your race was over with, you stayed with it the entire time. You stayed with all the people here, and you raised a lot of very good points from all directions. And you've been very helpful through this whole process. And I just want to let you know that you're appreciated.
You and I love all y'all because we're important. That's why I'm here. I just want to do the job and help every way.
Thank you also, Sharon, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she could have dropped out. Anybody, even Brian, it's the same thing. You know, once the race is over, and I get it, it could be disheartening, you know, but the cause remains. You know, whether you win or you
Jason,
lose,
just in case you don't know, I would like to make this statement.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the type of people that give up. Brian, Aaron, myself, we all ran in 2018.
Thank you.
Right.
We have not stopped.
I know you ain't gonna stop.
We will not stop.
We won't.
We will not allow these people to destroy our UAW organization.
There you go. There you go.
We are going to do whatever we have to make sure that this organization stays in being and it gets strong.
I want to start.
It's going to take a lot of work.
Yes, it will.
We have a lot of active members that it has been so much divisiveness put in between all of the members. They've been sectioned off. And we've got to come together.
Yeah. Got to work together.
Got to work together.
Come together at contract time.
We all want the same thing. It's just how we go about getting it.
That's it. That's all it is.
That's right.
All right, brothers and sisters, I'm going to sign off, Brian. You guys, Adrian, everybody, whoever, have a good night. I'm going to sign off.
All right.
Thank
good night.
You have a good
have
night,
a good night
also.
George,
well, see you guys.
Be safe, George.
Bye.
All right.
That's terrible. Who did that? George, they didn't
mean it.
John George
is
going to play the off.
I got a long cord on my microphone. Come on.
Hey, I think more of him than that. That's terrible.
I was thinking, George almost made it to the end. He could have signed off then, did it? My gosh.
Oh, you deserve it, did it?
Oh man.
So that makes me wonder about the last 15 minutes what's been going on.
One thing everybody's got to remember though, this is their show. They get to play the games. I'm just looking, they got a skilled trades meeting the 13th and the 16th in Detroit. They're going to drag this on as long as they can, especially with them looking like they're losing. I don't know what we can do. All we got to do is praying for justice. We know we're right. We know they're crooked. All we can do is hope for the best. I mean, I don't, like I said, you know, everybody goes, well, go to the monitor. I'm tired of sending that dingle bit shit because he don't ever even tell me he's got it. The only reason why I know he got it is because I got an alarm on there that I get notified when he opens it. I'll let it go at that, but
I just don't see where the monitor is going for the membership at all.
Yeah. Now, how many ballots were there, Adrian? I know you said it earlier.
There was supposed to be 1.1 million ballots mailed out. Now, this election time, they have received, and I'm going to approximate it.
Okay.
142,000 ballots.
God.
It's actually 141 something, but when it goes over that, I'll take it to the two. So that's why I'm saying 142,000.
You are correct. Because then 141,548 ballots have been returned.
Returned. That is correct.
1.1 million?
They mailed out
141,548, Don, 548. So just under 142,000 have been returned. And but like I said, and out of that, in the ballot counts they're giving us, it don't look like 100,000 of them are going to count.
Yeah. Yeah, let me get 586 before we go. 586 is you're on 586.
Oh, you're
not
happy
about
this? No. Hello. Goodbye. I didn't get time to pull with that crap over. Sorry, 586.
What's going on right now? I just wanted everybody to know that, you know, stay strong, people. We whipped their ass in their game, and now they don't even want to admit it.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a good time so far, and I'm proud of how things are turning out. I've got hope.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
hope is it.
That's it. We'll do it. We'll get her done. All right, well, we might as well close up the shop here. We'll be back next week, March 12th. Maybe during the week, if something happens, somebody get a hold of me, and we'll do a week, you know, in the middle of the week show if you want to. Or I can simulcast Brian or whoever. So all you have to do is get a hold of me. And it's not easy to do. I don't always go to Facebook a lot. So get hold of Scott or something, and he can call me. Or if you got my number, call me.
Yeah, we got your number.
Peace, love to all my sisters. Couch, I'll include you in that, too. I love you all. Keep up the good show. I'll see you next week. If I hear something good, call me, damn it.
Well, you know, I'll try
to get hold of you earlier.
All right, Jimmy.
I tried to catch you earlier.
Damn.
You don't answer the phone.
Week, okay? Have a real safe week. We'll see you next week. It's 12th March. We'll have a
good night, boy.
Good night.